koala.
What a koala.
It's a koala bear.
Anyone else?
She corrected me severely when I first said K-O-L-A.
And it worked really well, apparently.
Aioli.
That's so false right now.
Aioli. As I said, we've done everything before.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Just waiting to die.
Well, you shouldn't be waiting.
Come quickly.
You're not quick enough. You and Gary.
Don't be lumping me in there with Harry.
Need more time.
Yeah.
Give me more time.
Time is on my side.
Hebrews 1.
You know, this thing out of Ezekiel that we covered the other day, we talked about, it's pretty shocking. On his face, and then as you happen to be working on it, I gotta read it again. It's like it dawns on you that it's Christ. It's not just a picture on the wall.
It's Christ in you.
Yeah, it's that that mystery is being exposed in this parable. Pretty amazing.
Did I say go to Hebrews 1? Hebrews 1.
Hebrews 1, Matthew 0.
What? What did he say?
Hebrews 1, Nazi 0.
He and Wade are brothers, I guess.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by or in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And again, I want to concentrate on a couple of things. One is last days. It's not plural in the Hebrew. In Greek, it's just last day. How could the translators possibly conceive that when this was written, they were in the beginning of the night of the last day? And it takes on so much more power when you remove the plural from it. In the last day, he has spoken unto us by the Son. The evening of the last day. Now, let's go further on this. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is finished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, Isaiah said to Jerusalem, that her warfare doesn't say will be accomplished. It says it is accomplished. Is. Now, this doesn't have any meaning to you unless you see yourself as part of the New Jerusalem. If you don't, then you got more wars to fight than you can dream about. Now, all of this is because of what happened on Pentecost. her warfare is accomplished. And that was spoken over 700 years before Christ. The same thing that was spoken to Cain when his offering wasn't accepted at the very beginning. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not the sin offering lieth at the door? In other words, there's never been a battle except in your mind. What? You're doing it again.
Well, this answers this question. I'm visualizing this nuclear explosion, Pentecost, that penetrated time, obliterated it, and went back forward all directions. And that gospel certainly touched Isaiah's.
And it touched Cain. It touched Abel.
Yeah.
Remember, Abel was the first prophet. At the very beginning. What I want you to see, because of what Gary just said, that Pentecost touched and really destroyed time. From all in the past and all in the future. But if you see that, then you have to see it always was that way. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. Now it gets better.
One other little bit here. Time, when our mind thinks of it, is a function of spinning around on a planet, passing the sun, and that's how we measure this concept called time. But that's not what time is. Time is another thing.
Time is a great whore.
It's the space we give to the devil.
Yes.
Let's give it over to him.
Remember, the evil one took Jesus up on a high mountain, and in a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory. And he said, "All this has been delivered over to me. And whomsoever I will give it." And Jesus didn't correct him, which he would have. And Satan said, "Well, stay where you are. I'm just going to read this real quick." Satan said, "If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And worship just means give breath to. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now again, you've got to understand, worship just simply means give importance to. And you give importance to Satan by giving an importance to time. And that's manifested. You will never even think about giving importance to time unless you've given importance to self. So the fall happened. When the fall took place, that's when Adam and Eve had the consciousness of time.
I just saw where time and language are related in that.
Oh yeah, big deal. That's why I've said so often that English is the worst language I'm aware of to understand anything spiritual. Because it has too many verb tenses.
Language isn't necessary.
And it's used to separate. It's used to categorize the place.
That's why they couldn't fall. The fall couldn't have occurred until he named the names.
Yeah.
The smallest thing that God could say is everything. That's the smallest word he could say.
All right. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Now, that voice was Abel. That voice was, of course, all the prophets. That voice was Moses. That voice was the law. That voice was always there. There's always been a voice. And today the voice is anyone who's speaking in the name of God. If you're speaking in relationship to something that's going on in time, then by definition you can't be in the name of God. So you got this relationship really big? That's why you cannot possibly be in your name and in the name of Christ, because if they can't coexist. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway or a way. It didn't say highway, it says a hodos, a way or the way for him. The only way you can make the way for him is for you to totally empty yourself. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now the word see there, all flesh shall see together. There's no it there. All flesh shall see together. The word see there is used in the same context where the scripture says, all shall see death. Now, in if you're talking about what took place in time, then on Pentecost is the day that all flesh saw it together. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the only place the glory of the Lord is in Christ. So the glory of it was revealed in Christ on the day of Pentecost when the spirit or sperma of God was shed on all flesh. So all flesh saw it together. They didn't apprehend it because they were still in their own name. And therefore, as long as you're in your own name, you can never hear. You can never see. Because by definition, to be in your name, you have to constantly try to have redemption by your own strength. And wherever you look, it's simply a mirror. What does this mean to me? And it's a mirror because of your own silver that you've put on this mystery, and all you see is a reflection of yourself. Everybody got that? And the voice said, cry. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Doesn't say it either. See, the mouth of the Lord is spoken. All flesh shall see together. In the same way, all flesh shall see death. All flesh shall see this. They won't perceive it, but they'll see it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's always true. It's never not true. But what do you do? Well, what does this mean to me? The minute you've said that, the moment you've thought that, what shall I do, the moment that enters your consciousness, then the veil is back down again because your flesh is separating you, or your perceptions using your flesh is separating you from the finished work of God. And you have to continue on this inexorable path of self-realization, and all the time the Spirit of the God is blowing upon it and withering it. Got it?
It's like the minute you say, that's good, I can do that.
Then you're gone.
Yeah, right back in Genesis.
Yeah. Oh, Zion. And again, the word Zion means dry, empty place, no vegetation. What are you doing, Gary?
I'm just laughing inside.
Crying on the outside.
I mean, just this whole idea of how the flesh just can't stand it, you know, that it can't gain something. And it just wants it so bad.
O Zion, O arid, dry, empty place that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It's done. It's a done deal. It's always been true, always will be true. All right, now go to Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is this, and he's mocking him then, where is this supposed house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word, because he has nothing else. Now, this is for all your little offerings and all the little things you do to try to succeed and all the little innumerable thousand little offerings that, and sacrifices that you make in order for you to feel like you've been redeemed, that you have function, purpose, worth, sustenance. Now, watch. He that killeth an ox, which was the highest sacrifice, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth any oblation or any sacrifice is as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense in the altar of incense is as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now this is talking 700 years before Christ to the people of whose whole sacrificial system was based on the pattern that God showed Moses in the mount. But what they were doing is they were seeing the sacrifice as something, not seeing what the sacrifice revealed. The sacrifice always revealed the slain son and the completeness of that in every minutest detail, and certain of the Jews throughout history saw that. Remember why I got so angry with you about that God was acting differently before Christ? Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Now watch this one. This one will get you. Talk about mocking. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Because all of the sacrificial system, whose purpose was to reveal this mystery of Messiah, they saw it as a way of helping themselves and getting themselves fixed. You see how quickly your mind turns?
This is so amazing, because this is not history. This is
is us, what we do.
Right. This is to those that are trying to, that have raised the $8 billion to build that new temple. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And that's, again, you know, you hear all the people like Hagee and all those guys that believe in dispensation. They say this is talking about when President Truman did something and about the nation of Israel over there. But the word for nation here is goy. It means a nation other than Israel. Shall a people that are other than, and it means anything, other than the human race, shall a people be brought forth in one day? And that's what happened on Pentecost, which it had always been true, but it was brought into time on Pentecost. So again, hear the plaintive cry of God. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you needed something? Who told you that you needed to change? Who told you? It's only the same snake that tempted Eve, that was trying to tempt Christ. That snake is your mind. And the other men's mind that you pay attention to.
It's like the timeless one entered time at Pentecost and destroyed time.
And that's why we redeem the time, for the days are evil. The days have always been evil. Because only that which proceeded from eternity can return. The only one that proceeded from eternity, the only begotten of the Father, was Jesus Christ, for whose purpose the entire, by whom and of whom and for him, everything that was created by him and for him and to him and of him. And all your little delusions, he will increase the delusions, and then he will bring your fears upon you. Can anybody relate to this?
I think I just saw another little piece of the plot point. How God does mirror images and types and all that kind of stuff. Eve takes of the fruit, eats it, gives it to her husband, and he eats it. We take of the fruit, eat it, try to get our husband to eat it, and he won't eat it.
Again, the last day always means the day, the last days of the last day always means the day of Messiah. Remember, exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Not today's. Today. What do you exhort him to? To live in eternity, not in time. To give breath to nothing. Because all flesh is grass. The glory of the flesh is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God abideth forever. That's not talking about this book. The word of God is Jesus Christ. Let's look. I want you to see that again. Go to Revelation 19. Since Josiah isn't here, I'm going to use a few rollover minutes this morning, okay? Now, in Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon was destroyed. Now, remember Revelation 17 and 18, wherein Babylon was destroyed. Now, remember, there's only two left, the whore of Babylon, or the Babylonian garment and all that, and the bride, and the garment of the bride. There isn't a jillion different philosophies or things. There's only the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. And all forms of thought are the theology of glory because their purpose is to improve man. And that sounds like a nice thing to do, but it's stupid. All right, so then now in 19. And again, in 17 and 18, Babylon destroyed. Now, it has to take place in you before it can take place in... It has to... You understand? It has to take... This Babylon has to be destroyed in you. And now, and after these things, after Babylon is destroyed in you, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteousness are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore in me. This whore that's been sitting on the seven mountains of my mind, causing me to constantly walk in deception and want to always do well unto myself. And even if I fail miserably, it tells me that I can succeed if I just try harder or if I just hold my mouth differently. And it uses the activities and the seven mountains of your mind to constantly and never ending to try to pull you off this mercy seat, which came down. All right. True and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, not will come, is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And we know from all over the place, the linen, the white linen, is the righteousness of Christ. And that can only take place when you stop being concerned with you. And you've put on the right garment. The Babylonish garment is any garment that you try to use for the improvement of yourself. And there, then the garment is spotted by the flesh, and that's what makes it the Babylonish, the many-colored garment. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful, was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he just doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This Bible is just words about the Word. One more thing. Revelation 21. And this is John speaking. This is what he saw, I believe, on the Feast of Pentecost. I think I can prove he saw it on the Feast of Pentecost. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more human race. That's what the sea always signifies. And the word, a new heaven and a new earth is a word that could easily translate. It's the promised land. It's the new Jerusalem. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now that New Jerusalem did not go back up. That's why wherever you are, there is the mercy seat. And the only thing that can take you off that mercy seat is your mind or your emotions or paying attention to someone else's. And then you, oh, something's wrong. I got to do something. Got to take care of this. It's the great whore trying to deceive you to think that the sacrifice of his son wasn't enough for you because you're so special. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Faint means to quit in your mind. This is all related to this incredible feast of Pentecost that forever altered heaven and earth and the universe. Amen? Anybody have any response? Can you see why baptism is so important? Because you agree that you died on the cross at Passover, and now you got to be buried in baptism so the flesh is, because it's stinking up the room. Anthony, did you see anything? Real simple. Nothing complicated about it.
Not if you're unlearning.
Here's Michael. Take a big guy. Pentecost is this weekend. We'll meet 11 o'clock here Sunday morning in the Rutledges. Huh?